Hi, good evening to everybody. This is the first in the inaugural shiur on Hilchos Brachos. I'd like to begin by just touching on some of the background behind the Halachos Brachos and the importance of Hilchos Brachos, and from there we will move into some of the Halachos. It was a fascinating statement in the beginning of the sixth chapter, Parakeh Mevarchim of Mesachos Brachos, where it tells us, and this is really something you don't find in any other area in Halacha, that if you have a question, Yelech Etzel Baki V'Yomar Brachos, that you should go and ask an expert the Halachos Brachos and what bracha to recite on a particular bracha. The Gemara says, well, if you have a question, so you're not necessarily going to know the question before the question arises, so how can you even entertain the question before it exists? So the Gemara says, no, you should be prepared for all possible, potential, practical questions that may arise in the laws of brachos, and therefore should study the halachas of brachos properly, and really be fully equipped to answer any question that exists. So the Gemara, as I mentioned, is certainly unique in all aspects of halacha. It doesn't say when it comes to the laws of Shabbos, doesn't say when it comes to the laws of kashrut, but here specifically the laws of brachos, one is expected to be able to resolve the doubt. Now the question is why? What's unique about halachas of brachos, and why specifically in this area of halacha are we more particular, are we more cautious, are we more careful that one is prepared to know what to do? So the simple understanding more might be that when it comes to other areas of halacha, one can ask a question. If I'm not sure what to do, so sometimes you have buy-in time that I could ask a question. There's enough lead time that I can ask a question, be prepared if it's a question of the Shabbos, so sometimes you have time in advance to ask the questions. It's true, sometimes questions come up on Shabbos, but the question isn't immediate necessarily. It could be I could ask a question and the question can be resolved and then I could deal with it even on Shabbos. Same thing is often true in the halachos of kashrus. I'm not sure if I can or can't eat something, so I'll wait and I can ask a little bit later. But when you're about to eat and you are ready to eat something, you're not sure what bracha to make on it, you don't always have the opportunity to ask. Today, maybe in our high-speed communication world that we live in, so you could get an answer quicker than maybe in Shu and Talmudic times, but nonetheless, that might be one way to resolve a question. You can't necessarily wait. You need to eat when you need to eat, and you don't always have the time. Therefore, the Gemara understands that certainly that's some area, and it's an aspect of halacha where one has to be more prepared and more aware of what to do immediately. However, contemporarily, certainly, I think there are a variety of reasons why indeed halachas of brachos are important that one is more familiar with them. It used to be that we lived in a more of an agricultural society, and people knew what was in their field. They knew what existed. If you weren't sure, you'd go check, does this grow on a tree? Does this grow on the ground? And if it doesn't, so maybe it was grown, and then you processed it, and you knew what to do with it, and how it was done, so then it's worthy and deserving of mizonos. If it's neither of the above, then it'll make a shackle. Everybody knew exactly what their food looked like, how it was grown, how it was made, and it was much simpler. Today, there are two reasons why that has changed. Number one, we live in a global village, as we refer to it, and food comes from all over the world. Even fruits and vegetables that used to be seasonal, that's almost something that doesn't exist. So certainly certain fruits and vegetables are more expensive at certain times of the year because they're not being produced in the country. But nonetheless, any and every fruit and vegetable is absolutely available almost daily, and if not daily, weekly, and wherever you want and whenever you want, you're able to get that item that you want. So therefore, we have access to everything. And when we have access to everything, that doesn't necessarily mean that we know the bracha, because it's not just apples and oranges and pears and bananas that we're eating, but we're eating fruits and vegetables from certainly all over the country and certainly internationally. And when you're getting fruits and vegetables that are international, you don't necessarily know exactly how they are grown. And indeed, there are plenty of such vegetables. I'm not just talking about a papaya necessarily, which itself is a machlokas, so a bracha to make on a papaya. I'm talking about more complicated fruits and vegetables that we don't always see. Certainly some of the vegetables and fruits that we use for simanim on Rosh Hashanah or for new fruits in Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, the world that we live in has created need to try to know what exactly and how and what bracha to make on the variety of fruits and vegetables that we see. Furthermore, the way our food is made and manufactured today is much different than it was back then. As I mentioned, things were simpler. The food industry and the types of foods and fruits and vegetables that we ate were obvious to all, and everybody knew what specific bracha to make on it. However, today they do a variety of different things with food. And therefore, what used to be a simple eight tadam shahak mazonos today is much more complicated, because once you start mixing and matching and covering and coating, questions are raised as to what bracha you should make on that particular food. And maybe it's an ikur v'tafel shayla. One item is the ingredient is the primary and the other item is secondary. And as a result, we're confused in terms of what bracha to make. So therefore, the statement of the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Brachos, Yelech Etzel Baki Vilmod, becomes even more practical, and therefore we do have to be more aware of Brachos, the halacha of the Brachos, and the Brachos that are being made, and what Brachos to make specifically. And this evening I want to share with you five different examples where we do see that the halacha of Brachos have changed over time, and drastically and dramatically. I'm going to start with hydroponics. Hydroponics are fruits and vegetables that grow on a bed of water. It used to be that if you take an apple, an orange, a pear, or a tomato or a cucumber, so you know, if it's something that grows on a tree, you'll make an eighth. If it's something that grows on the ground, you're going to make an adama. Today, though, there's a variety of fruits and vegetables that are being grown on the water and are no longer being grown in the ground. They're no longer being grown in a tree. So if you pick up a cucumber and if you pick up a tomato, so who says necessarily that it was grown on the ground and you're going to make an adama on the tomato and you're going to make an eighth on the apple? Maybe it was grown hydroponically. Certainly out of the country, it's become, out of the United States, it is becoming more popular. In Israel, it's becoming much more popular to use hydroponics. Either quality of the fruits and vegetables, less infestation in the animals, more protection, and more of an ability to control the elements is true when it comes to hydroponics. And therefore, as a result, there is a movement and there is a certainly some level of excitement to work with hydroponics. Now, if it's not growing in the ground, it's not an adama. If it's not growing on a tree, it's not going to be an eighth. So clearly, hydroponics, hydroponic apple, hydroponic banana, any of these items are not going to be an eighth in adama, and it's going to be a shahakol. So if you know for sure and certainly that you're eating a hydroponic apple, hydroponically grown cucumber, hydroponically grown tomato, it's simply a shahakol. Borei pre eitz means that the food came from a tree. Borei pre adama means that the food came from the ground. That's the word eitz, the tree. Adama is the ground. And here it's not coming from a tree, albeit it's coming from a tree, but it's a tree that's coming out of a water. And anything that's being grown out of a bed of water, hydroponically grown, is deserving of the bracha of a shahakol. Now, often when we're shopping, we don't necessarily know if the vegetables that we're buying are hydroponically grown or if they are not hydroponically grown. So at this point and at this time, in the year 2016, the majority of fruits and vegetables are still being grown not being grown hydroponically. As a result, the rose and the strong majority is that the fruits and vegetables that we are eating are either coming from the ground or they're coming from a tree. And therefore, based upon the regular rule, the law of the brachos, if something comes from a tree, you'll make a borei pre eitz. If something grows from the ground, you make a borei pre adama. The same thing is true unless you know otherwise. So if you see a sign that says this is hydroponically grown cucumber, so then you're going to make a shahakol. If you see it's a hydroponic, if it's not a hydroponic, if it doesn't say, or if you're not sure, then your borei pre adama, as you ordinarily would be made, will be made on your cucumber and will be made on your tomato. So here's just one example of how the world of brachos is changing, and it could be that this is something that will change drastically and more and more as we continue to work with hydroponics more. But again, unless you know something is grown hydroponically, then you will make your standard and your classic brachos. However, if you know for sure that something is grown hydroponically, that vegetable, that fruit will be made a shahakol on it. Second area that I'd like to touch on in terms of the changing world of halachas of brachos is the brachas to make on berries. Included in the world of berries and the berry family would be strawberries, blackberries, raspberries, cranberries even. So the standard rule, and this is the Shulchan Aruch says in the Reish Gimel, Sif Beis, ala tutim hagdelim basne, on berries that are grown on a bush or on a small little tree of sorts, borei pri adama, the appropriate bracha to make is a borei pri adama. These tutim that are gdelim b'sne, these bushes, so the reason and the basic reason as to why you make a borei pri adama, the rule of the Rama in Siman Reish Gimel, is that any stem that does not last from year to year, that breaks, that falls, that it dissolves basically in the winter as a result of the snow, the rain, the cold, and all the elements, and it requires a new crop to be grown year by year, at that point, one would make a bar prizam. Therefore, bushes, any bush that is unable to produce or reproduce its crop on a yearly basis, on an annual basis, it doesn't replenish itself, you're going to make a bar prizam. Therefore, all the berries, all the family of berries, including cranberries, raspberries, blackberries, blueberries, and the like, will all receive a bari priyadama. That is the rule of the Ramah. Interestingly enough, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayei Adam that it's not necessarily true. The Mishnah Berurah comments, and he quotes the Chayei Adam, that it's true. L'chadchila shivarech aleim bari priyadama. That ideally you should make a bari priyadama. However, the opinion of the Magen Avraham and many other Achronim says the Mishnah Berurah is to make a bari priyadama. So the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Magen Avraham, knows something fascinating. That even though it's true, according to the Magen Avraham, that you should really make a bari priyadama on any of the berries, ha'olam nagim, the custom is to always make a bari priyadama. The Mishnah Berurah wonders why is the custom to make a bari priyadama. If really many say you should make a bari priyadama on the berry families, taimam de lo chashivi kol kach peri, that the berry families aren't really considered much of a fruit. They're bushes, and they're not really considered to be from a tree. And anytime something doesn't grow from a tree, is not considered to be strong as a tree, at that point, you're not going to make a bari priyadama. And that's the reason why on the berries we make a bari priyadama. That seems to be the opinion of the Mechaber. That seems to be the opinion of the Ramah. That seems to be the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah. Even though there are those who do make a bari priyadama, the custom says the Mishnah Berurah has become to make a bari priyadama on any of the berry families. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. In the early tshuva that's quoted in Aruch Chaim Chelek Aleph regarding blackberries, it's in Siman Pei Hei, he cites this machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah and notes that there are many Moike Bori Priyah. Here, Rav Moshe Feinstein says things have changed and times have changed when it comes to the berry family. And Rav Moshe says that which the Mishnah Berurah said and the Magen Avraham said that you should only make a Bori Priyah Dhamma, that's only true when the berry bushes didn't grow higher than 10 inches, about Gimel Tzachim. And that's the type of bushes, of berries that were growing in Eastern Europe, that they were very low. However, here in the States, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, where their berries are much higher than 10 inches, and often much, much more significant than that, and they're taller than 3 Tzachim, on those, certainly you should make a Bari Pre'eh. So Moshe Feinstein, again, shows how the changing conditions also will have the ramifications on the law of the bracha, even though ordinarily everybody said you should make a bari priyadama on the berry family, says Rav Moshe, that was only true when it came to the low leaning bushes, but on high and tall branches, that would change. Rav Moshe further points out that there's another significant difference. Many people did already make a bari priyadama, and many people had the custom to make a bari priyadama on the berry family. So Rav Moshe says that if you don't have a minhag, or if no minhag exists in the town, the country, the constituency, the area, the region that you live on, ideally you should make a bari priyadama. That's Rav Moshe's opinion. But makom shelo yadua haminhag, yesh levarach bari priyadama, you should make a bari priyadama. Furthermore, says Rav Moshe, if you're not sure if the berries that you're buying in your local supermarket, you're not necessarily growing berries in your backyard, you're not sure. So if you don't know if the tree that you're dealing with is higher than 10 inches, it's lower than 10 inches, what type of strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, and cranberries are you buying? Therefore, on those, you should always make a bari priyadama. Now, the exception to this rule is strawberries. Strawberries are always going to make a bari priyadama. Those we know grow on very low bushes, and that everybody agrees on. But on the cranberries, the blackberries, and the blueberries, Ramosha's opinion is they should make a bari priyadama. I will point out that many do understand that you should make a bari priyadama, if that's what the Mishnah Berurah said, if that's the custom. But nonetheless, Rav Moshe does posit that on the blackberries and raspberries, you should make a bari priyadama. If one has had a custom where they have been making a bari priyadama for a significant amount of time on any of the berries and any group of berries in the berry family, so I wouldn't tell you necessarily to switch your custom. If that's what you've been doing, you could do so. But if you never had a custom and you're not sure what to do, Moshe Feinstein and Chelek Aleph or Aruch Chaim Siman Pei Hei seems to indicate that a bari priyadama would be in order. There is in the second example where you see the changing elements in Hilchos Brachos contemporarily. Third example is cabbage. Cabbage, the Shulchan Aruch, the Achronim also point out that with bracha is shahakol. Now, why would a bracha be a shahakol? So the Gemara rules in Perek Eitz Merachim, and this is the rule of the Shulchan Aruch, that any time you eat a fruit or a vegetable, only raw, but when its intent is meant to be eaten properly cooked, like cabbage, cabbage is ideally eaten cooked. If you're going to eat it raw, you're going to make a bari priya dam. So raw cabbage, cabbage that you're simply purchasing and eating out of the supermarket, receives a shahakol. But once you cook it, at that point, you're going to make a bari priya dam. However, contemporary poskim posits and points out that things have changed. Many people contemporarily eat cabbage raw. And it's not an uncommon. You're not just using cabbage to make your stuffed cabbage when it's cooked and baked, but you'll eat cabbage raw. Maybe in a salad you'll eat cabbage, and not necessarily only in egg rolls and not just in stuffed cabbage, but even raw. Therefore, the position that most Achronim say, and Mishnah Berurah seems to indicate this by the way, is that it depends on a custom. If the majority of the population eats a particular item raw, and then at that point you'll make a shahakol. But if the majority of the people in the United States of America today are eating cabbage raw, then it goes back to its regular bracha of a bari priya dam. So you see again here in the third example where what people do and what common custom is also lends itself to the changing laws of Hilchos Bracha. Even though for centuries, cabbage, which was eaten raw, received the bracha of shahakol, because that's not the way it was meant to be eaten. You only make a bracha of ha'etz or ha'dama when you're eating the fruit the way it's meant to be eaten. But if you're eating it in an abnormal way or an uncommon way, you're only going to make a shahakol. So today, when it's common already to eat a cabbage in a raw, when that's what people are doing, that's what commonly is being done, and it's what many people might eat in a salad, and I can't speak to whether or not that is the common practice, not the common practice, but cabbage might be worthy of the bracha of a bori priya dam, even when it's eaten raw, because that's the way it is being eaten today. A fourth example of the changing elements of halacha of the brachos would be the bracha make on Pringles. Pringles are the potato chips which are flat, which are made from potatoes. They are not necessarily made from a they're made from an actual potato and doesn't come from a combination of something else. Typically, and the way people used to eat potatoes is you take a potato, you cook it up, you maybe put it on the oven or on the fire, on the flame, and you'd see that that's the potato that's being eaten. However, Pringles today is a manufactured potato, which has been flattened. It doesn't look necessarily or anything at all like a potato. It looks like a flat piece of something, but I don't necessarily know that it's a potato. So therefore, it's changed. So there are opinions that you would make a shahakol in it because it's been manufactured, it's been processed, it's been reprocessed. Nonetheless, the majority opinion seems to be that you would make a bracha bari priya dam on Pringles because it is a potato, it hasn't really changed. Although it's been manufactured and flattened and certainly looks much different than a potato chip. A potato chip, even when it's, in the bag, looks like it probably came from a potato. The same thing would be, same argument can be made when it comes to a Pringle, that because it came from a chip or from a potato, you still would make a bari priya dam. Even though things have changed and times have changed and potatoes are being used differently and they're not necessarily just being put in the oven or in the flame on top of a fire, the bracha, the common bracha that most poskim contemporarily assume that should be made on Pringles is a bari priya dam. Final example I'd like to share this evening is wild fruit. Even if you walk around town, you'll see many wild fruit growing. You could see a sour apple at times. You could sometimes see in our backyard even some types of berries, of course, mushrooms. And the halacha on any of what bracha to make on any wild fruit is actually a shahakol. It's what's referred to as ilanei srak. Ilanei srak means fruits that grow by themselves that are not being harvested by man. They grow by themselves. So when a human being doesn't have any control and they're just growing on their own, at that point they make a shahakol. The question is today, when you have the same type of fruits and vegetables that may have been wild in times gone by, but if a human is intervening and is working with these fruits, the crab apples or the types of berries that might grow, or you're doing something to it, even though for hundreds of years the bracha may have been a shahakol, at the end of the day, at this point, if there is some human intervention, the bracha on a sour apple will be ha'etz, and the bracha on the various berries would be dependent on the height of the bush. But if it's a low-leaning bush and you have some berries that are edible and are healthy to be eaten, then you would make an adama, even though for hundreds of years the bracha would be a shahakol. So all these
examples lend themselves to explaining the Gemara that says that that the laws of brachas require a thorough understanding of agriculture, a thorough understanding of nature, a thorough understanding of the wherewithal and the makeup of the changing elements and times in terms of how things are being used, processed, made, and grown. And of course, there is much, much, much more to learn about Hilchos Brachos, as we will do in the coming weeks. But just to leave us with a thought for the coming week is a bracha essentially is an opportunity for us to slow down and to recognize what we're doing before we do it. At times we get so caught up and are so involved in doing something by rote that we forget for some reason to appreciate the items that God gave us as a blessing. Anything in life that we do quickly, you don't appreciate. Anything in life that you do slower, you begin to appreciate it more. When you say Shemon Esrei very quickly, you don't appreciate Shemon Esrei. When you say Shemon Esrei slowly, you appreciate the words much more. Bracha is not supposed to be a nuisance. It's not supposed to be a prohibition. It's not supposed to be difficult and painful. It's just the opposite. It's supposed to be an opportunity in a way for us to appreciate what we're doing and what we're eating. When you slow down and you bite into an apple, and before biting the apple, you make a bar pate, the taste of the apple becomes much more alive. And the same thing is true of the orange and the pear and the banana. You begin to appreciate what you're eating, what you have, and what you are honing into. And the pleasure of eating that fruit or that grape or whatever it is that you're eating will be that much better. So anytime we do something slower and we have the opportunity to appreciate it, that is really what a bracha is doing. It's giving us the opportunity to appreciate what we have, the ability to eat, the opportunity that we have to connect to God, to connect to Hashem, and all the different things that we're doing. I'd like to develop that thought a little bit more next week, and we will pick up with that. Thank you for listening. Have a good evening.